you would, go ahead and turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 28. We started a little series based on a couple of questions last week regarding, question was posed, do you believe in church authority or pastoral authority? And I believe with all my heart that one comes before the other, and one empowers the other. We brought out last week that all authority comes from the head of every New Testament church, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate authority. He is to have preeminence in the church. We are to bow to His and submit ourselves unto His Lordship, His commands, each and every day of our lives, and that the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are responsible to submit to His commandments with a desire to bring glory unto Him. And He does receive glory in His churches, from His churches. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Last week we did bring out that before Jesus ascended into heaven during His earthly ministry, He gave what we commonly refer to as the Great Commission to His New Testament church. Now last week we brought out several things about the fact that Christ organized His church during His earthly ministry. The Lord's church did not start on the day of Pentecost. It was already in existence. Jesus started it. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He is the founder, the foundation, and He's also responsible for the perpetuity and succession of His kind of church. When He gave the Great Commission, He said there in Matthew 28, verse 18, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All authority belongs to Christ. Now He grants this authority to His New Testament church to carry out His work. His body is to carry out His work. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now He is giving, He's authorizing His church to do His work. Now, there are some that take this out of context and say that He was giving this to the apostles. Well, if that was true, then the commission would have died with the last apostle. But there is a promise of perpetuity in this commission when He said, Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world, to the end of the age, until I come again, there will always be New Testament churches that have come from this one until I return. Thankfully, Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church has the privilege of being in that succession. I believe Baptists go all the way back to the Lord Jesus Christ. They exist. He started what we would identify today and call a New Testament Baptist church during His earthly ministry. They believed in salvation by grace, divine authority of the Scriptures, the headship of Jesus Christ. They believed in regeneration by the Holy Spirit. They believed in conversion through belief in the Word of God. They believed baptism by immersion in water performed by the authority of a New Testament church. They believed that the Lord's Supper was only for the members of a particular church. Those are all things Baptists have held to and stood for through the ages. Before the Catholic Church was ever formed, there were New Testament Baptist churches. You can see them in the book of Acts. They're carrying out the Great Commission. Now, the Lord gave His church that commission. That church was organized by Him. And then in that, we covered this last week. This is just a little bit of review. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus told them that the promise of the Father was going to come upon them, that they were to wait for the promise of the Father, which was when Jesus Himself would baptize that first church with the Holy Spirit of God. And that occurred in Acts chapter 2. And empowered and energized the New Testament church to carry out the Great Commission. So Christ empowered that church. And the Jerusalem church went everywhere preaching the Word. They began to fill Jerusalem with the doctrine of the gospel of Christ. That church was persecuted by religious and secular authorities, but they continued to preach the Word. And they were determined to obey God rather than men. They were exercising the authority that the Lord Jesus had given them to preach the gospel, to baptize the converts, and to teach them the all things that God had commanded, that Christ had commanded. It's just a repetitive process. That's what a church does. Now, the members of the first church at Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 8, they were persecuted. Saul of Tarsus was responsible for some of that before he was converted. But it says in Acts 8 verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the Word. Now what's interesting is the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. But these members were scattered. And they went everywhere preaching the Word, sharing the Word. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ. And I mean, God was moving and working. And then after the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, later known as Paul, the church of Jerusalem determined to organize another independent church in Antioch. Now again, men don't have authority. Preachers don't have authority in and of themselves to start churches. Churches start churches. I mean, that's what the Jerusalem church did. And you'll notice, and I don't know why this is any kind of, why there should even be a matter of controversy. I mean, it's clear the pattern that was set forth in the New Testament. Churches beget other churches. Like begets like. It's that way all the way through the Scripture. Now, the church at Jerusalem, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 11, you'll find that people were being saved in Antioch. And it says in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. People were being saved through their efforts at sharing the gospel message, which is a really interesting thing, considering that the Catholic Church believes in denominational salvation. Those who believe in the priesthood of the church, the idea that you have to be a Baptist church member to be saved. These people were saved before they were united to a church. See? You're saved by the gospel. Amen. By the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Anybody that preaches anything other than that is a heretic. And Paul made it clear that if you preach any other gospel than that which was delivered, let it be accursed. We're living in a day and age where people are literally accursed for preaching damnable doctrines rather than just a plain, simple, truthful gospel message. Nothing needs to be added to it. And I'll go a step further. You can be saved regardless who is sharing the message. It's the message, not the messenger, that saves. Now, it says in verse 22, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which is at Jerusalem." Now, as of right now, this is the only church in existence. It's the one that Jesus started with the original apostles. They were the living stones that He placed first in the church. We know that from 1 Corinthians, that the apostles were the first members of the first church. That church grew by Acts chapter 1. They had 120 members. And they conducted business. Before the day of Pentecost, they worshiped. They carried out the Great Commission. Now, that church at Jerusalem, notice what they did. And I love the language here. When they heard people were being saved in Antioch, it says, "And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch." Now notice this. It wasn't Barnabas who made the determination to go. It was the church that sent him. They sent him to a specific place, Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. So there, in this time frame, somewhere the church at Antioch is organized out of the church at Jerusalem. They became an independent, autonomous church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "And people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church." Now you can't do that in a universal, invisible, spooky church. But you can assemble, you can congregate as believers for a whole year with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a local, visible, called out assembly of baptized believers. Okay? "So they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." And that was originally a term of derision. But now notice, the church at Antioch would then authorize and ordain Saul and Barnabas, Paul, later known as Paul, to do missionary work. Again, the pattern's simple. The church at Jerusalem determined to start a work in Antioch. They sent Barnabas as far as Antioch. A church was organized there. Then that church, they did the same thing that Jerusalem did. They determined to ordain and send out missionaries to do mission work. Acts chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence sailed to Cyprus. Church in Antioch repeat the same process. They ordained and authorized Paul and Barnabas to do mission work. And they did quite a work. An amazing work was done by them. And at the end of their first missionary journey, you find Saul and Barnabas making their way back to the church at Antioch, their sending church, for the express purpose of giving a report concerning the churches that they had organized on their first missionary journey. Look in Acts chapter 14. This is God's way. Acts 14, verse 24. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together. Again, I shouldn't have to point this out, but a church, to be a church, it has to be able to gather together. It has to be able to congregate. Again, there is nowhere in the Bible where there is a universal, invisible church. Churches of the Lord Jesus are always local, visible congregations. When they gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. So we find in the book of Acts that a definite pattern of carrying out the Great Commission had been clearly established. The Jerusalem church authorized and established the church at Antioch. The church at Antioch authorized and sent out missionaries to organize other churches. And this is God's way of perpetuating His kind of church. Not through the authority of men, but by the authority of the local church. It's a simple, orderly process. What did Paul tell the Corinthians? Let all things be done decently and in order. This is an orderly way to start New Testament churches. It's God's way. Now, there's controversy. Years ago, J.C. Settlemyer and Wayne Camp really tried to put a lot of... they were teaching that preachers, as long as they were ordained, had direct authority from God to start a church. And you don't find that in the New Testament. You don't find any pastor, any elder working apart from the authority of a New Testament church. It's just that simple. It's God's way. Now, this may sound crazy, but I started thinking about direct authority. And really, there's only one place, one man that God gave direct authority to. And that was John the Baptist. He was a man sent from God. Interestingly enough, he was never baptized. You realize that? He prepared the materials for the first church. Because every single apostle had the baptism of John. In fact, the head of the first New Testament church had the baptism of John the Baptist. But that's the only direct authority, and I dare say there's never been another John the Baptist. Nor will there ever be. Once Jesus started His church, He gave the authority to His churches to carry out the Great Commission. Each church, since the first one, has been given the authority to preach the gospel, baptize the converts, teach them to observe all things, discipline disorderly members. By the way, Matthew 18, Jesus gives instructions how to deal with those guilty of personal offenses that were unrepented of. They had to be dealt with. He said, bring it before the church. Now, I don't know what in the world people do who believe in a universal and visible church. They just go out and start yelling. You know, because if it's the big spooky church, they go out and say, hey, anybody that's out there, hey, we got to bring somebody up for discipline. It's ludicrous. Exactly. It's ludicrous to believe in an invisible church. Discipline's carried out by a local visible body. And they only have authority to discipline those within their church body. None beyond that. Now, the New Testament church has authority to ordain elders and deacons, send out missionaries, organize churches, and conduct business when necessary. The authority to do the work of the Lord is in the Lord's church, His body, His congregation of blood-bought, baptized believers in a given locality. And as a church body, they are to be obedient and submissive to the authority and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, that is the foundation that I want to lay before we get into what pastoral authority is next Wednesday night. So we'll make the transition there. Because when they asked the question, it was kind of like a loaded question. Do you believe in church authority or pastoral authority? Well, I believe in both. Because the Bible teaches both. But one comes under the authority of the other. In fact, you can't have pastoral authority without church authority. So that's why I wanted to lay that foundation. We'll continue there. Pick up there next week.